Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives. Thank you for the work of transformation you are doing in us. Thank you for shining your light on our hearts and minds. Thank you for setting us free from strongholds and bondages of darkness. Thank you for changing our situations to agree with your will. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your power that is working in us to make us live a righteous life. We thank you for destroying our weaknesses that we may glorify you with our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for how much you have poured out onto us during the previous Bible study classes we have had. We thank you for the wisdom that came from you, the revelations that came from you, the understanding that we have received from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you because you will perfect your will for our lives and callings and destinies. Thank you, Lord. I ask, O God, that as we would be having another class session in your presence right now, I ask that you would bless us from your throne. Bless us with fullness of spiritual blessings. Teach us things that we don't know. And as we begin to receive from you, Lord, let the entrance of your word and messages change our lives for good and for better and for the best. Thank you, Father, because we know you shall do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. So we shall continue with the teachings. You know, we have been looking at building up a strong relationship with God. And I was talking about how special our relationship with God is. Now, we dealt with the fact that we are Jesus' body. Now, we're moving to point G, which is we are God's temple. Yeah, all these points I have been saying is showing us how God relates with us in special ways, or maybe I should call it dimensions of God's relationship with us, God's connection with us, how it is in the realm of the spirit, God's relationship with us, how it is in the realm of the spirit. So that is what all these points are talking about. And we started from where I said point A was obedient believers are blessed and chosen people. Point B was Jesus bought us. We belong to him. Which means Jesus bought us with a price. and that makes him to own horns. So we are his possession. And then point C is, instead of making us slaves, he adopted us as children and heirs. And then point D was, we are spiritually married to God. Point E was, we live and abide in him, and he lives in us. Point F was, we are Jesus' body. So now we are moving to point G, which is we are God's temple. We are God's temple. That is point G. So that is where we are. And that is what we are looking at right now. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Know ye not that your body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Point G says, we are God's temple. If you begin to see yourself as God's temple, you will be very careful how you live, and you would be very careful how you use your body. Because according to this scripture, Apostle Paul was speaking against fornication. Like, if you look at verse 18 of this same chapter, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. And verse 17 says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. What that verse mean? I'm referring to verse 17 now. What it means is that if you and I are in Christ, we are in Christ to become one with him. And you are not in Christ to live another life, to live your life the way you want to live it. You are in Christ to live the life of Christ. You and I, we are in Christ to live holy lives, to live righteous lives, to live for Christ and not for ourselves or for anything in this world, but for him. And you're familiar with the verse that says everything were created by him and for him. So if he created you, then you must exist and live for him. So we are in Christ to live his life. Because if you don't live his life, you can't stay in him. To stay in him is to live the same life that is in him. To live the same life that he lives. So when I'm talking about living the same life that is in him, I'm talking about your lifestyle, how you think, how you speak, how you dress, what you do with your body. Yeah, your lifestyle as a whole is what will determine if you will be in Christ or not. So, and this means that not many Christians are in Christ. Yeah, not many are in Christ, though they call themselves Christians, because the life of Christ cannot be found in them. So, and without living the life of Christ, you can't be in Christ. It's not possible. Yeah. So my point is, my point here is that we become one with Him if we live in Him. In the kingdom of God is so united that everyone is important. The kingdom of God is so united, such that everyone is to fit in to complete a puzzle. I'm just citing that as an example. You know how there can be many puzzles or many bits of a puzzle, many parts of a puzzle. Yeah. So the kingdom of God is like a very complex puzzle, which everyone comes together to fit in, to make it complete. Yeah. So in the kingdom of God, everyone is important, and everyone is together with everyone. There is no division. Yeah. So if we are in Christ, we become one with Him. So that is what 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 is talking about. It says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So meaning that you become one with the Lord. You become one spirit with the Lord. That's what it means. Yeah, which means that you lose who you are to become who he is in nature, who he is in lifestyle, who he is in character. So you lose who you are. When you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, what you are saying is that I'm losing who I am to become who he is. Yeah. So that is what it means. So that is why it says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Yeah. So the way to abide in Jesus is to be ready to become one with Him. To become one with Him. And I think I have talked on that one when I was talking about the Word of God abiding in you. Yeah, according to John chapter 15. Yeah, you can go over that chapter. Yeah. So, verse 18 says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. And verse 19 says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Yeah. That shows that God holds your body. Your body is His temple. And you can't do what you like with your body. Yeah, I don't know if some Christians that misuse their bodies, I don't know if they have ever read this place I just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Yeah, I don't know if they have read this place, because some Christians, they feel like God only look at the heart. they say God only look at the heart. Yeah, God does not care how I dress. God does not care what I put on my body, what I paint on my body. God doesn't care if I draw, tattoos on my body. God doesn't care if I put on jewelries, earrings, and all of those stuff people put on their bodies. So they feel like God doesn't care about all these things. Doesn't care if I use a false hair, if I attach another hair to my head. I mean, hair attachments and all of that. So they feel like God doesn't care about these things. He only cares about the heart. That is a lie. At least you can see from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So you can't use it anyhow. You can't use it to sleep around with other men or women who are not your spouse. You can't use your you can't appear seductive with your body and think God is pleased with you. You can't smoke with the body. You can't drink alcohol into the same body that the Bible calls the temple of God. Yeah, you can't do all these things I've mentioned. You can't masturbate. Yeah, masturbation. Masturbation is when you are manipulating your sexual organs till you attain orgasm or till you ejaculate. That's masturbation. Yeah, you can't do all of that with your body. If you do that with your body, you have sinned against God. Why? Because God is so much interested in your body. God is so much interested in our bodies as Christians. So he's not only interested in your soul and spirit, he is interested in your body. And he wants you to, if God is not interested in our bodies, why will he be healing the sick? Why will he be raising the dead? Yeah, so he's so interested in our bodies. And he wants that body to be holy. Why? Why? Because that is the contact point between heaven and earth. Your body is the contact point between heaven and earth. Meaning that if God is going to do anything on earth, he must pass through your body. God must use your body if he will do anything on earth. And the day you cease to exist in your body is the day your destiny fulfillment comes to an end. Yeah, it is the day you can no longer be used by God. Yeah, so your body is so important to God and heaven. And God wants it to be pure and holy. Yeah, God wants your body to be pure and holy so that he can reveal his glory through your body. Yeah. And another thing that is so important is you can't separate your body from your soul and from your spirit. They were created to work as one. Your body, your soul and your spirit were created by God to work as one. So they were not created to work separately. Yeah. So that is why God cannot do without your body. Yeah. And that is why whatever you do with your body affects your soul and affects your spirit. Because they were created to work together as one. There are certain things you can do with your body, like right now as I'm talking, and I can begin to tell you what is going to be happening to you as long as you continue to do that thing with your body. I can tell you that you will not prosper. I can tell you that you will suffer poverty, you will suffer marital failure. as long as you continue to do that thing with your body, I can tell you, and I will be correct, because that is what it means in the realm of the spirit. So I can tell you certain things that will happen in your life as long as you continue to misuse your body. And those things will happen whether you like it or not, because you can't escape it. In the realm of the spirit, every what you do with your body matters a lot. So if you misuse your body, it begins to create evil for you in the realm of the spirit, which will overtake you, or which will catch up with you in the physical realm, and you won't escape it. Yeah, so that is why we must be very careful with what we do with our bodies. Some women up to today cannot have good marriage. It's not a cause. They can never have a good marriage. Why? Because of what they have been doing with their bodies. So they are under a curse for using their bodies to bring people down into sin. So God is angry with them because of the way they dress, and they have polluted the earth with their lifestyle. So the curse of God is upon them, and that is why they cannot have good marriage, because they have misused their bodies. Yeah, so and there are many other things like that. I mean, there are many other consequences of misusing your body on earth. So we must be very careful. I mean, very careful. In the days of the apostles in the Bible, some people wrote about the kind of glory that covered those people. Though it wasn't written in the Bible, but those that did research into history, they said that the early believers, they were so covered with the glory of God to the point that their face used to shine like sun. I mean, their face used to shine just like the face of Moses was shining. If you read that account in the Old Testament, the Bible said Moses went up to the mountain. He spent some days with God on the mountain. And when Moses came down from the mountain, the Bible said his face was shining like sun, and people couldn't look at his face. Yeah. So historical records of certain events that happened to the early Christians. I mean, those Christians that started when the church started by the ends of the apostles. History told us that some of those Christians, their faces could shine just as the sun is shining, meaning that you can't look at their face to tell you how the glory of God so much manifested on them. So these are people who have dedicated their bodies to God, not people who are polluting their bodies. How can the glory of God shine from a polluted body? Possible. So these people were so filled with God that their faces were shining. You can read account of Stephen. Yeah, I think there was an account of Stephen in the Bible, when they drag him before the elders in Jerusalem, and they were questioning him. Yeah, the Bible says, as he was talking, his face was shining like the face of an angel. Yeah, so our bodies is for the manifestation of the glory of God. The Bible says that the shadow of Peter was able to heal the sick, such that when Peter is passing by, the people, sick people, they line up on the street so that his shadow can touch them. And everyone that the shadow of Peter touches, they become healed. Yeah, so all these things are possible because these men They have dedicated all of themselves to God. So they are not trying to separate their body from God. Because some Christians, they feel like, it's my body. I can do what I like with it. No, you can't. Yeah. So if we really want to manifest the glory of God, the glory of God in the head, to the point where people can literally see the glory of God shining upon us like a sun, then you must watch what you do with your body. You must please God with your body, and in your body you must please God. Yeah, because your body is the temple of God. Yeah, so people have asked me questions like, you preach against women wearing trousers, you preach against women embracing artificial beauty. What about those women of God out there that dress all those worldly dressing, and they still prophesy, and they still cast out devils, and they still heal the sick, and they teach very well, they preach very well. So what about them? Yeah, I just smile. Yeah, and I mean, when they ask me those questions, I will just smile. And I'm smiling because they don't know the glory of God. They thought the glory of God is just about you prophesy, you heal the sick, you cast out devils. It's more than that. It's far more than that. Yeah, there are dimensions of God's glory that cannot be revealed through your life. If your body is not pure, you will die. If that glory is trying to, you know, if God tried to reveal that glory through your body, if God tries to reveal those higher dimensions of his glory through a body that is not pure, that person will die instantly. Yeah. So we have not seen the glory of God as we should see it in our generation, because we have not dedicated our bodies to God as we should. If you cannot give all your body to the Lord, then I don't think you have given all your soul to him. One of the ways to prove that you have given him all your soul is by checking if you have actually given him all your body. Yeah. Yeah. May the Lord give you more understanding of these things. Let us continue. In 2 Corinthians, okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. I want to read it. Yeah. It says, "And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. "And what agreement are the temple of God with idols?" Yeah, you see that? What agreement? What agreement are the temple of God with idols? So he's trying to say, how does the temple of God and idols, how do they agree? So, "For ye are the temple of the living God." So here, he's saying that both your body, your soul, your spirit are the temple of the living God. And God has said in his word that he wants to dwell in you. He wants to walk in you. He wants to be your God, and he wants you to be his people. Yeah. So how would God walk among us if we are so filled with idols? How will God walk among us if we are so filled with idols? If we are so polluted and corrupt, how are we going to see the move of God? How? It's not possible. It is not possible. The standard of God is so high. It's so very high. And sometimes I just feel like we are wasting our time being a Christian. Honestly, when I consider how high the standard of God is, I feel like all our church leaders, I feel like many of us are just wasting our time. Yeah, because many of us are far behind that standard. And it is that standard that will qualify us for rapture and for heaven. So I began to wonder if we are so far behind a standard that will qualify us to enter into God's kingdom, then I feel like, why are we preaching? I feel like all the preaching we have been doing for 10 years, 20 years, I feel like it's just a waste. Yeah, because I saw how many of us are so below this standard. I mean, so below this standard. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm just trying to tell you what I know. Yeah. The standard of God is so very high. And up to now, we are still struggling to even meet up with 50%. Yeah, we are still struggling. The whole world is still struggling. I mean, the church is still struggling to attain this standard. So I began to ask myself, where are we going? Yeah, where are we going? Are we planning to enter the same heaven the apostles entered? Or we want to enter another heaven? Yeah, if after Apostle Paul, you know, had grown spiritually, he was still praying that, you know, that he does not want to be a castaway. He was still saying that he must discipline himself so that he doesn't become a castaway. After the level of maturity, spiritual maturity he had already attained, he was still begging God to help him so that he will not be a castaway. Now, let's look at our generation. What level of maturity have we attained? Yeah, what level of spiritual maturity have we already attained? Have we attained the level of maturity the apostles in the scriptures attained? Their level of commitment, sacrifice, and love, have we attained that level? Yeah. So these are the questions we should ask ourselves. Yeah, these are the questions we should ask ourselves. I feel like everyone in the church of this generation should be sorrowful. I feel like we should be sorrowful and not be laughing. Why? Because our spiritual state is very worse before God. Yeah, our spiritual state is worse before God. So we need to really have a rethink of how our lives line up with the scriptures. We need to sit down and think of how our lives, our lifestyle line up with the scripture. So this will determine if we will end up with God or not. Yeah, so these are important things we must take note of. It says, what is the agreement between the temple of God and idols? Yeah, I wanted to say this, and I just remembered. If at this point There are certain things in your life you are still struggling to lay down for God. Then I don't think you are ready for God. Yeah. If at this point, maybe for the past 5 years, there is an habit, there's an attitude, you are still struggling to get rid of, to surrender, or to lay down for God, then I don't think you are ready for God. That's just the truth. I don't think you are ready for God. Yeah, because if at the level of consecration, you are still found wanting, yeah, then what about other levels? Yeah, if just to get rid of what God is saying, I don't want this thing in your life anymore, I don't want you to do this thing anymore, if you are still struggling to lay that down, then it means you are not ready for God. Yeah, because Christianity is not a joke. It's not like we are playing a game. Christianity is a serious journey or a serious adventure, and Christ must take a lot of things from you if you will reign with Him in His kingdom. Yeah, so check your life. What are the idols you have exalted above Christ? What are those things you will not let go? Yeah, and you are happy that you are not letting go of it, and you are still calling yourself a Christian. That is a problem. I mean, it means you have a serious problem, and you really need to run to God to help you. And you really need to make a conscious and deliberate decision to terminate those idols in your life. Yeah, you really need to do that if you want to end up with God. Yeah, you need to make a deliberate determination to terminate idols in your life. Idols are anything you have embraced that is contrary to the will of God. Anything you have exalted above the will of God. So meaning that you don't mind disobeying God to keep that thing in your life, or to enjoy that pleasure in your life, or to have that thing in your life, or to please that thing in your life. You don't mind disobeying God's will, then that thing is an idol, and that thing must be destroyed. It must be cut off from your life. Without it being cut off, you can't make heaven. It's not possible. Yeah, it's not possible. Idols can't enter heaven. So if you have become one with idols, then you can't enter heaven. That's the truth. Yeah, let's look at that verse again. It says, ye are the temple of the living God. Yeah, and God said He wants to dwell in you. He wants to be your God, and He wants you to be His people. Verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18 says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So God is saying, come out from among them. Come out from among them. So those that are not obeying God, don't join them to disobey God. Don't try to please people Yeah. Don't try to please people, and then in so doing, you disobey God. Please God with all your life. Jesus said in the scriptures, he said, if your eyes causes you to sin, pluck it out. That if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Yeah. If you don't do these things, he said, you can't enter into his kingdom. If there's a relationship causing you to sin, break up that relationship. If there's a friendship causing you to sin, cut off that friendship. If you are among an association or a group that is causing you to sin, come out of that group. So these are practical things you have to do to show that you are a Christian, to show that you want God and that you really love God and want to please him. May the Lord give you grace to do the needful so that God can receive you. Yeah. Amen. So let us look at another scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Yeah, the summary of these verses is saying that the whole church is like a building. I mean, Christians are like building that are fitly framed together. Yeah. And verse 22 says, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Yeah, so God has decided to live in our bodies, in our souls, in our spirits. You know, in the ancient times, during the time of the Old Testament, God was not living in people as he's living in us now. They have to build a tabernacle. They have to put in that tabernacle the ark of testimony, the ark of covenant. Yeah, and the outer court, there is a holy place, and there is a holy of holies, which is also called the most holy place. Yeah. So God was staying outside of them. God was not living inside of them. But now all of us, we have become a building that God is now living in us. So if you happen to be going to a church that have a very beautiful structure, that is not the temple of God. Yeah, that structure that you go to every Sunday is not the temple of God. The temple of God is we. We are his temple, not any physical structure. Yeah, of course, God glorifies himself when we gather together in unity to pray, to praise him, to worship him. Yeah, the glory of God comes down. Yeah, there is a corporate anointing, and there is a corporate glory that manifests. But outside of that, the building is just a building God decided to use every time his people gather together. Not that the building is the temple of God. Yeah, we are the temple of God, which means that if we are no longer living to please God with our lives, then we can have a very beautiful church. I mean, very, very beautiful church building, or physical church building, or physical structure, and there will not be the presence of God in that place. So meaning that if we want the presence of God to be in a physical building, we would determine that by the way we live our lives. We determine it by the way we live our lives. So God is not dwelling in physical structures. Yeah, as it were in those days, in the Old Testament, God is now dwelling in human beings. Yeah, and we must be careful with how we live our lives and with what we do with our bodies, with our minds, and with our spirits. Yeah, with our souls. May the Lord give you grace to live holy before Him in Jesus' name. May the Lord give you grace to present your bodies as living, as the living sacrifice, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Amen. So now let's look at another scripture in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Yeah, let's read it. Hebrews 3, verse 6. Yeah, it says, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Yeah, it says, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? So the Bible is saying here that you and I, we are the house of God. And we are the house of God if we take serious the confidence that the Word of God gives us and the hope that the Word of God gives us. If we hold on to those things, the faith that was delivered to us by the fathers, the church fathers, the apostles, the faith they handed over to us. If we hold it firmly to obey the faith, to keep the faith and the hope they handed over to us, then we are God's house. Yeah. So I believe you get it now. So the house of God is not physical buildings. The house of God are the people of God. Yeah, the house of God are the people of God. Because no matter how beautiful physical buildings we build for fellowship or for church meetings, no matter how beautiful those buildings are, they will all be melted with fire in the last day or on the last day. Yeah, the Bible says everything you see in the world today will be melted with fire. So meaning that everything will disappear. Everything will be destroyed. Yeah, no matter how much millions you spend building those structures, So soon, everything will perish. So the real building of God is we, Christians. We are his house. Yeah. And that is why we must make that house pure and holy, so that God can actually dwell in it. Yeah. May the Lord give you understanding. Amen. Now, let us move to another point. Point H. Point G was, we are God's temple. So now point H is, Jesus is our shepherd. We are his sheep. Jesus is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And if you look at Psalm 23 from verse 1 to 4, you will see where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, let's look at it together. Psalm 23, verse 1 to 4. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yeah, if you look at from verse 1 to verse 4, you keep seeing how the Lord does his shepherd business, if I can put it that way. Yeah, you keep seeing how he is your shepherd. In verse 2, you will see it there. In verse 3, you will see it there. In verse 4, you will see it there. So meaning that God wants to lead our lives. He wants to lead our lives because in so doing, it says, I shall not want. In so doing, you will not lack any good thing if he is leading your life. Verse 2, it says, he will make you lie down in green pastures. He will put you beside the still waters. So he will give you abundance. He will give you prosperity. He will give you satisfaction. He will give you comfort. Yeah. And in verse 3, he will restore your soul. He will heal your soul. He will give you righteousness. And verse 4, in verse 4, because he's your shepherd, he will deliver you when you pass through the shadow of death. He would comfort you with his rod and his staff. Yeah, he will deal with your enemies. That's what it means. He will deal with your enemies, and he will also correct you. Yeah, he will use his rod and his staff to deal with your enemy and also to correct you so that you can be comforted, so that you can have peace and comfort. So all these things happens when your shepherd. So if you make him your shepherd, there is a lot you will enjoy. But the reason why many people don't usually trust God's direction and God's leading is because most times God's leading is not what we want. In fact, 99% of God's leading is not what you want. Is not what your flesh wants, what your body wants, what your feelings want, what your emotions want, what your ego, your pride wants. Yeah, 99% of God's will and God's direction and God's leadings is not always what you want. So that is why many people prefer to handle their life by themselves with their wisdom, and then they run into trouble, and then they become devil's prey, and then they fall into captivities, and devil began to, kick them like football. Yeah, devil began to kick their lives anywhere he wants it to go. Just like footballer kicks football, and their lives become so confused and so depressed because they did not make the Lord their shepherd. I think I've said this before. I said it. I said that I never knew God loved me so much, and I never knew that God has been so faithful in my life until I stopped thinking about myself, until I stopped wanting God to do what I want, until I surrendered to what He wants. I didn't know He has been faithful. Yeah, because there's this tendency in human beings to feel like God has done nothing because He has not done what you want. Yeah, that tendency is in every human being. Yeah, they feel like God has not done anything for them because He has not done what they want. And in so doing, they can't appreciate Him. They can't thank Him. They are not grateful. Why? Because they are so consumed with their own lusts and selfish desires. Yeah. So the moment you put aside, or if I wouldn't even use put aside, because put aside could mean that later you pick it up. The moment you get rid of your own lust and selfish desires and interest, and you surrender to God's will and God's leadings and God's direction, that is when you begin to understand that God is actually faithful. And that is when you begin to understand that He really cares for you and that He loves you so much. And that is when you begin to understand that everything you have passed through in life was for your good. Even the tough times you went through. If you are a Christian that have given up yourself and have surrendered all your life to God and to God's leading and leadership, you will begin to see that, you begin to see everything you go through as God's plan to make your life better and beautiful. Even those unpleasant situations God takes you through, because he said God is your shepherd. And then in verse 4, he said the Lord is his shepherd. And then in verse 4 it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which means that God will intentionally walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. Now imagine you are following a shepherd. You know, shepherd either stay at the back and tell the sheep to be going at front. And if the sheep are going another direction, they speak and say, they speak a language that the sheep will hear, and then the sheep will turn to the direction they want, the direction the shepherd want them to go. Or the shepherd could be at the front, and the sheep will be following from the back. Now, in verse 4, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which means that God usually takes us through dangerous paths. Yeah, I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to show you here. In verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then in verse 4, it says, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? So meaning that God led him into the valley of the shadow of death. He was following God, just as sheep followed the shepherd. And now God is leading him through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? So, because some of us, we ask questions. God, why? Why did you allow this situation happen? Why did you allow this to befall me? Why did you lead me into this trouble? It's because he wants to use it to make you a better person. He wants to use those situations to beautify you. That is the answer to the why. Yeah, because it says, I fear no evil because thou art with me. Yeah, so if you really want to see the best version of your life, then follow God's leadings as they come. Everything the Bible teach, do them. Everything the Spirit of God instructs you to do, do them. And don't question him, just obey. Then by the time God began to show you how wonderful and how powerful he is, then you will understand that all those directions and instructions were for your good. Yeah, by the time God began to show you his faithfulness, then you will know that he was not leading you into your destruction. God loves you so much that he will not lead you into destruction. That's not the God I know. He will not lead you into what is going to destroy you, what is going to bring you down. He doesn't do that. Yeah, so that is why when you are following him, you have to trust him. You have to trust him that this situation I'm passing through is for the best of my life. It's to bring out the best version of who I am in Christ. Yeah, may the Lord give you understanding. Amen. Yeah, so we're going to stop here. And other scriptures, I will go over them during the next class. If you have questions, you can put it on the group and I will answer them by God's grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. We thank you for showing us from the scriptures how we are your temple and how we must present our bodies, souls, and spirits as holy so that you can dwell in them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you also for showing us that your relationship with us is that of a shepherd to the sheep and how we must learn to follow your voice, your instructions and directions. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that all that I have said in the course of this teaching, that it produce great wisdom, revelations, understanding in the hearts and minds of everyone that have listened. In the name of Jesus, I ask, oh God, that you help everyone in their areas of weaknesses, that you help them, strengthen them, and make them perfect before you. Thank you, Father, because I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The Lord bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Goodbye.